Today's daf is Nida daf Samach Gimel. We are holding on the top of daf Samach Gimel and Aleph. We're at the two dots. The Mishnah had said, Ezehu Rok Tefel. What exactly is Rok Tefel? We went through the Zayin Sammanim that a person needs to be Mavir al Kesem in order to determine whether the Kesem is blood or whether it's Tseva, whether it's Tame or whether it's not. So one of the Zayin Sammanim was Rok Tefel, was raw saliva. So what is the definition of raw saliva? So Tana Kol Shalotam Klum Mi Be'erev. Anytime the person has not eaten anything Mi Ba'erev, from the evening. So Savra Papa Kameh Rav Lemeimar Kemanda Amar Lot. So Rav Papa thought to say, this means someone who hasn't eaten anything all night long. Amar le Rava Mikatani Ba'erev. It doesn't say someone who didn't eat anything Ba'erev in the evening. Mi Ba'erev Katani. It says someone who hasn't eaten anything from the evening. So Lafuke Hecha Dekadam Va'achil. All it's coming to tell me is that if a person woke up early and ate, that does not count as Rok Tafel. But it doesn't mean that the person cannot have eaten anything all night, as Rashi points out, Lafuki de Kadam Kodem Ayom La'acha Shener Mishinaso Va'achil Dela Avi Rok Tafel. What we're saying is that if a person, after he woke up from his night's sleep, ate something, then the saliva that comes out of his mouth is not considered Rok Tafel. Because the sleep makes the saliva more bitter and strengthens it. And then when you eat, it sweetens the saliva a little bit. And takes away some of the strength. But it doesn't mean you couldn't have had dinner after nightfall the night before. You certainly could have had dinner after nightfall the night before, and it will still be Rok Tafel when you wake up in the morning. So, it sounds clearly from Rashi that at any time a person ate, even b'tchilas halayla, if a person ate at the beginning of the night, it could still have a din of Rok Tafel, as long as he hasn't eaten since waking up in the morning. The difficulty is the Shitas HaRambam. The Rambam in Isur Biyah Perek Tes, Halacha Lamed Ches, the Rambam writes, Ezehu Rok Tafel, Shelo Ta'am Klum mitchilas halayla. Someone who hasn't eaten anything from the very beginning of the night. And he slept at least the second half of the night. The next morning when he wakes up, it's called Rok Tafel. So asks Rashash that the Rambam is saying definitely like one of the sheet of the Amoraim, but it's the sheet of Rav Papa. And our Gemara clearly rejects the sheet of Rav Papa. Rav rejects the sheet of Rav Papa. Why is the Rambam paskening like the sheet of Rav Papa? Unanswered question. That's the kasha that he leaves. Amar Rabba Bar Bechana, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, back in the Gemara, Ezu Rok Tafel, Kol Sha'avar Lav Chatzos Lailu B'Sheina. Someone who went through half of the night, who went through Chatzos Lailu, midnight, while sleeping. L'meimer de B'Sheina Tal Yemilsa? Wait, does this depend completely on being asleep? V'atan Yashim Kol Yom Einza Rok Tafel, Neir Kol Laila, Reza Rok Tafel. But then don't we know that the Mishnah teaches us that even if a person sleeps all day, the saliva that he wakes up with in his mouth is not considered Rok Tafel, and if a person is awake all night, then the saliva in his mouth is Rok Tafel. So how can you say that if he has to go through Chatzos Salayla u'bishena and there needs to be sleep involved? It says clearly in this Mishnah that if he goes through all night, even if he's Neir Kalalayla, even if he's awake all night, it could be Rok Tafel. Apparently you don't need sleep in order to make Rok Tafel. Answers the Gemara, Hasam b'misnamnim, that when we say that if he's up all night it could be Rok Tafel, doesn't mean he's literally awake all night. It means he's misnamnim. He's dozing throughout the night. It's just that he never gets a real solid night's sleep during the night. That's when it could be Rok Tafel. But if a person is literally awake all night, then the saliva in his mouth is not Rok Tafel. If you look at Rashi, Hasum Dektani Neir Kol Laila Reza Rok Tafel Lo Dineir Mamish, doesn't mean he's literally awake all night. El Misnamnim Devadai Shena Shalaila Ba'ina Vishina Sayom Avagav Diyashin Lav Tafel Hu Hol V'tam Klum Shatom Shakros Nena Kol Yom Kulo. All it's saying is that if you sleep during the day, that doesn't count. But if you sleep at night, it does count and will make Rok Tafel, because when you sleep during the day, it doesn't have the same effect on the saliva since you already had breakfast that day. That's how Rashi understands. Now, the Rambam writes, as we said before, what is Rok Tafel? Shlo Tom Klum Mitchilas HaLaila V'Uyashin Mechatzi HaLaila HaAchron. And you slept the entire second half of the night. So the next morning, when you wake up, before you eat, that's called Rok Tafel. So the Rambam leaves leaves out this din of misnamnim, that dozing is considered like sleeping. So the Chachmas Betzal and the Aruch Lener, they try to be miyashiv. Why does the Rambam leave out this din of misnamnim, that misnamnim has a din of sleeping? So they point out, very interestingly, the Gemara Meseches Pesachim and Daf Kuf Chaf Amar Aleph talks about a group that sits down to have the Seder together, to eat the Korban Pesach, and some of the people go to sleep in the middle, so they could still eat the Korban Pesach. But if all of them go to sleep, then they can't come back to eat the Korban Pesach. And Rabbi Yossi Omer, over there, Rabbi Yossi says, Nisnam nimu yochlu, nirdemu lo yochlu. That if they dozed, they could still eat the Korban Pesach, but if they really fell asleep, they can't eat it. So there's machlokas over there between the Rashbam and the Rashbam and the Rambam, what Rabbi Yossi means. The Rashbam says that Rabbi Yossi means, it's going on the Reish of the Mishnah, where we said that the Tanakhama says that if some of the people fall asleep, you could still eat the Korban Pesach. That means if some of the people doze, but if those miktsas of the people completely fall asleep, then they cannot eat the Korban Pesach. However, the Rambam says that Rabbi Yossi is going on the safe of the Mishnah, when the Tanakhama says that if everybody falls asleep, that you can no longer eat the Korban Pesach. That's only if everybody really sleeps, but if everybody just dozes, they could still eat the Korban Pesach. And that's how the Rambam paskins, that b'nei chabura sheyashnu m'ksasun b'tocha se'uda chozun v'yochlin, nirdemu kulan v'nei oru lo yochlu, nisnamnu kulan yochlu. The Rambam is mechalek that if all of them go to sleep, so it depends what kind of sleep it was. If it was dozing, good, they could still eat the Korban Pesach. If it was a real solid sleep, they cannot eat the Korban Pesach. So according to the Rambam, there's a machlokas between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yossi whether nisnamnim has a din of sleeping or does not have a din of sleeping. Tanakhama holds nisnamnim kiyashin, and it all depends on did everybody do it or did some of the people do it, but the Tanakhama was never mechalek between dozing and sleeping, and what Rabbi Yossi is mechadesh is that dozing is different than sleeping. That's Rabbi Yossi's shita Meseches Pesachim. And how does the Rambam paskin? So the Rambam paskins like Rabbi Yossi, that nisnamnim is not like sleeping, and that's why maybe the Rambam leaves out the din of misnamnim of kiyashin in our Gemara. Our Gemara seems to be mechadesh that yes, even if a person only dozes during the night, that's the same as sleeping during the night. But the Rambam paskins like Rabbi Yossi that dozing is not the same as sleeping. Legabe the hefsek in the achil of the Korban Pesach, so too the Rambam paskin will assume that this entire sugya of ours, where we assume that dozing is like sleeping, is only within the sheet of the Tanakhama, which he rejects the halacha, and therefore the Rambam doesn't quote this din of misnamnim. So very sharp vart from the Chacham Sal, the Aruch Liner, how the Rambam in his Piskei Halacha would take Gantz Shas into account. He wasn't just looking at this sugya, he was looking at all of Shas, and he assumed that this sugya must be going to Lo Kilchasa. So okay, now that we've had this discussion about misnamnim, ask the Gemara, what is the definition of misnamnim? Hechi dami misnamnim. Amar Ravashi, nim velo nim, tir velo tir, dekarle va'ani velo yodol adiri svara v'chimat gole midkar. Person who's in and out of consciousness, they call him and he doesn't answer, and he can't give a svara to something right off the bat, his mind isn't sharply answering questions, but when you remind him, he'll be able to get back into it pretty quickly. So that's the definition of misnamnim. Tana, hishkim v'shana pirku, ein zeh rok tafel. If a person wakes up to learn, and he learns a little bit, and he speaks, so he's so that's not called rok tafel. Vad kama, how much speaking? If he says good morning to somebody, so it's not rok tafel anymore. The saliva. So I'm Ravi Dibar Shila, I'm Rav Ashi, I'm Rav Lazar. Kol she yatzar rov diburo shel shalosh shaos. If he spoke rov diburo of 3 hours, 3 hours worth of significant speech, that's called that it's no longer rok tafel. Just getting into his day, it's no longer considered to be rok tafel. Now this it's interesting that the Gemara gives the example of hishkim v'shana pirko, that he wakes up to learn, that he wakes up to learn before davening. There is a Rashi in Maseches Brachos. I was just preparing Brachos yesterday for the next cycle. So Rashi in Maseches Brachos and Daf Hei says that a person is of the things that a person is not supposed to do before he davens. Just like the Gemara has a comment that one of the Amoraim was very makbid that he would be Kari Kriyashma Samach Lemitaso, and Mispalal Samach Lemitaso. So what does it mean Samach Lemitaso? That right after waking up, he would daven. He wouldn't do anything else. Rashi says, for instance, like you shouldn't learn before you daven. And Tosfos says, what are you talking about? How could you say you shouldn't learn before you daven? Adraba, we find that that great Gedolei Amoraim and Tanaim would learn before they daven. And Tosfos says, Gemara is the backup that of course you learn before you daven. So Salvechik points out, what's the Nekuda Samachlokas? The Gemara in Brachos Taf Yud tells us, this is just a new sefer that came out, Rishimo Shirim, Rav Salvechik Shirim on Maseches Brachos. Very, very beautifully done. He points out that the Gemara in Brachos Taf Yud tells us that you're not allowed to eat before you daven. Why are you not allowed to eat before you daven? It's considered, also Yishtachta L'Achar Gavecha, it's as if you're throwing a Kodesh Baruch Hu behind you, Achar Ge'echa, it's Gaiva, that you take care of yourself before you take care of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. So what is the yisod of that din, that you're not allowed to eat before you daven? Is it a din that you're not allowed to take care of mundane matters before you daven, because davening has to come first, spiritual matters have to come first, in which case learning is a spiritual matter, it's not a mundane matter, and therefore learning would be completely okay, and that's Shita Satoslos? Or is it a din? No, it's not a din in mundane versus spiritual, so you're not allowed to do anything to sharpen your own body before you do before you serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu with tefillah, before you acknowledge HaKadosh Baruch Hu with tefillah. And included in your own body is your own seichel, is your own brain, and to focus on your own intellectual pursuit of Torah would be inappropriate before you acknowledge HaKadosh Baruch Hu's role. And that would be Shitas Rashi, that learning is even inappropriate before davening. Obviously, we pass like Tosos, we encourage learning before davening, after davening, we encourage learning all the time. Learning is a good thing. But that's reminded me of that, because the Gemara says it almost Masiach Lefitumo, that yeah, like a person who wakes up and Shana Pirko, and he learns right away. So that's not called the Rogue Tafel. Okay, says the Gemara Vayta, May Grisin, Liisas Grisin Shalpul. So then we discuss the next of the Zayin Sammanim that we use of the seven detergents that we mentioned in the Mishnah is May Grisin, is when a person chews on these Grisin beans. So let me say Reish Lakish. Our Mishnah seems to be a right Reish Lakish, because you see we're not using just Grisin beans, we're using chewed Grisin beans, which means that the chewed Grisin are mixed with saliva, because obviously there's saliva that when you choose something, saliva gets mixed in. So this is a riot Reish Lakish. Tom Reish Lakish, Rok Tafel Tzark Shei Im Kol Echad Ve'echad. When we say that Rok Tafel is used, and then the other six, it doesn't mean that the other six are each used independently. Each of the other six need to be mixed with a certain amount of Rok Tafel as well. So this is a riot from the fact that the Grisin have to be chewed, so you see that Rok Tafel has to be mixed in as well. Says Marna Dilma Havla Depuma Mali. Maybe it's not the saliva that needs to be mixed in, it's the Hevel of the mouth. Whatever heat is emitted by the mouth that helps the Grisin, that helps the character of the Grisin really come out. But it's not necessarily true that all of the Zayin Sammanim require Rok Tafel. Says Gemara Masnisin Delo Rabbi Yehuda. Our mission seems to be against Rabbi Yehuda. Detanya Rabbi Yehuda Omer, May Grisin Roseach Va'over Sheyitin L'Tocha Melach. That May Grisin has to be hot May Grisin, and it has to be before you put any salt in it, because if you put any salt in it, it already takes away the koach a little bit, the potency of the May Grisin. So it doesn't say any of that in our Mishnah, so that's why our Mishnah seems to be Delok Rabbi Yehuda. The Mishnah never made any such qualification that it has to be hot and it has to be unsalted May Grisin. Interesting, the Gemara notes, when he talks about before you put salt in it, it doesn't say Kodem Sheitim L'Toch HaMelech, it says Over Sheitim L'Toch HaMelech. My mashma dahai over lishna daktu mehu. So who says that over means before? Maybe over means after. Maybe how do I know what the word over means? How do I know that you can use the word over in place of the word kodem? So Rav Nachman Yitzchak Damakra vayaretz achimatz derech hakikar vayavar es hakushi. That achimatz ran and he overcame. He got there before the kushi to spread the news of the death. Abai yamar mehacha vhu avar lifnehem. That's the pasuk that avar means to get there first. Vibay say mehacha vayavar malkum lifnehem Hashem roshem. So three different possibilities of where we know that the word over means before. So the achronim talk about why I need three different possibilities, what I could possibly learn from each of these three. The more famous context of this of this discussion of the word over being kodem, if you look on the side of the Gemara, it refers you Sukkah Lamates, Psachim Dav Zayim, Psachim Kuf Yates, Megillah Chaf Aleph. In all of those contexts, it's not about Megrisin and when it's salted and, you know, using the Megrisin as one of the Zayin Sammanim. It's about making brachos over Las Yasan. The Gemara says that it's a mitzvah that when you make a bracha, Kol HaMitzvos Kulan, Mevorchen Aleihen over Las Yasan. You have to make the bracha before you do the mitzvah on all mitzvahs. And the Gemara says, what does over mean? So over means before. How do I know over means before? Then it goes into this whole discussion with these psukim. Not every Gemara quotes all three psukim. I don't remember which ones quote which psukim, but not all the Gemaras quote all three of these psukim. And even though the Gemara does have this expression, Kol HaMitzvos Kulan, Mevarchen Aleihen over Las Yasan, all the mitzvahs, all of them, you make a bracha over Las Yasan. That's how literally translated. It's actually not entirely true. There are certain mitzvahs that we cannot make a bracha over Las Yasan, and we do not make a bracha over Las Yasan. For instance, Tevila B'mikvah, we do not do over Las Yasan. A woman is, a person is Tovelas, is Tovel, and then makes the bracha. Then the minig is dip again in order to make it a little bit over Las Yasan, but it's typically not done over Las Yasan. Tosus points out, because Tevilas Ger is, it cannot be done over Las Yasan. That since when a ger goes to the mikveh, he can't make the bracha, Asher Kishon B'Sos V'Tzivanu, before he's Tovel, because before he's Tovel, he's not a Jew, so he's got to do it after you go to the mikveh, so it's a low plug in Tevila. Tosus suggests maybe that's the reason for Netilas Yadayim as well. Tosus tries to figure out, it doesn't make any sense to him, why we make the bracha al Netilas Yadayim after we wash our hands. It doesn't make any sense. You wash your, it's a mitzvah, you should do over Las Yasan. So he said, maybe it's Atu Tevila, that just like by Tevila, we do it after, so Netila is sort of like a Tevila, and therefore you do it over. Other Rishonim aren't so convinced. They're not convinced that it's true that you should make Al Netilas Yadayim after you wash your hands. Maybe you should actually make Al Netilas Yadayim before you wash your hands. The other situation when we don't make over Las Yasan is when a woman lights Ner Rosh Shabbos. We assume that with the lighting of Ner Rosh Shabbos, with the bracha on the Ner Rosh Shabbos, that's her Kabbalah Shabbos. She's being Mekabel Shabbos at that moment. So if she's being Mekabel Shabbos, she can't then light the Neros, because if she then lights the Neros, it's going to be Chil Shabbos for her. She was ready Mekabel Shabbos. So that's why the minig is, a woman lights the Neros, makes the bracha, but in order to accomplish a little bit of an Over Las Yasan, she covers her eyes while she makes the bracha, so that right after making the bracha, she opens up her eyes, and she'll be able to be Nena from the light right after making the bracha. So she's not Nena from the light before, and then it's sort of a little bit of an Over Las Yasan, not in the Maisa Hadlaka, but at least in the Hana'a that she gets from the light. That's why some poskim recommend, nowadays, when the primary light in the room is from the electric light and it's not really from the candles, that a woman should go out of her way right before lighting candles to turn on the electric light in the room and then light the candles, and then make the bracha. Someone just emailed me yesterday that they heard I said that in one of my shiurim, and that they had heard that a woman should make the bracha and then turn on the electric light. And I thought that's wrong. I said, Adarav, what are you talking about? If she makes the bracha first, then she's Mekabel Shabbos. She's not allowed to turn on the light after she makes the bracha. Okay, says the Gemara Vayter. Meraglayim shechmitzu. So meraglayim that's spoiled. That's been it's been waiting around for a while. So Tana kamachim. That's another one of the Zayin Sammanim. So kamachim mutzan. How long is a while? Shloshi yamim. 3 days. So Amar Yochanan, Kol Shiurei Chacham B'Ksam Tzaruch Shir L'Shiuran. You know, all these shiurim that the Chacham give of how long, there's a lot more that needs to be explained still. The Yelad of the Zaken, Meraglayim of a young person or an old person, the Ish or the Isha, of a woman or a man, Mechusim or Megulim, exposed or covered up throughout the entire period, V'Mosacham Mosach Hashem, during the summertime or the wintertime. Rashi tries to explain which one of these, of in each of these cases, is the more potent of the two, but the Mishnah and the Gemara never explained what the qualifications of Meraglayim. Tosus points out that even though over here it says the Chimutz of Meraglayim is 3 days, the Gemara Mesach Shabbos Daf Tzadi says that the Shir of Meraglayim Shechmitzu is 40 days. It's quite a discrepancy between 3 days and 40 days. So Tosus Metari, it's two Terutzim. Number one, he says, from 3 days until 40 days, it's Roy to be Maver on the Kesem. So that in Shabbos we're giving the end time, it's up until 40 days. Over here we're giving giving the earliest time, starting from 3 days. Second Tarsos says that Gemara in Shabbos is being done by Kibbutz Beged Katan. So over there it has to be Meiraglayim, that's Machmas 40 days. Where over here, we're talking about being Mavir Kesem, removing a stain and not doing Kibbutz of a Beged. So since we're just talking about removing one stain, so that's only 3 days would suffice. Now the Rambam writes, the Rambam in Yisri Bir Perek Tes Halacha Lamed Ches writes, Ezu Meiraglayim Shechmitzu Achar Shlosha Yamim O Yoser. And the Rambam doesn't give how much Yoser is. He says 3 days or more is Meiraglayim Shechmitzu. And he never says up until 40 days. So the Chacham Tzfal points out that the Rambam must hold like the second Deya in Tosos, like the second answer of Tosos, that there's a chiluk between Kibbutz Beged and Havaris Kesem. By Kibbutz Beged, you need Chimutz of Arba'im Yom. Havaris Kesem, only 3 days. But not like the first answer of Tosos, because the Rambam doesn't give 40 days as the latest time that the Meiraglayim can still be used. Also interesting, the Rambam leaves out all the sfeikos that the Gemara has over here. Meiraglayim of a Yelet or a Zaken, Yimos HaChama, Yimos HaKshav, all these sfeikos. The Rambam doesn't mention any of them. So the Achronim wonder why the Rambam leaves out these Ibayos. Normally you have to paskin. When the Gemara gives an Ibaya and it's not and it is not poshet the Ibaya, you have to decide, are you going to go L'chumra, are you going to go L'kula? You have to paskin. So the Aruch Hanukkah says the Rambam wasn't sure which one of these are more potent. Is Yelen more potent or is the Zaken more potent? Rashi says Shal Zaken is Tovim Yoser. Tosas disagrees, says Shal Yelen is Tovim Yoser. So since we don't know which one is better to use as a detergent, say the Rambam would want to go L'chumra, but he doesn't know what the Chumra is. So the Rambam just leaves it out because he would like to go L'chumra, but you have to know what the Chumra is. The Rambam passes the Chumra that you have to, well, on the next issue the Gemara is going to discuss. Let's see Vayit in the Gemara. V'tzarech l'chaskei shalosh pamim. You need to rub the detergent in 3 times. By Rabbi Yirmiya, am tuye v'asuye chad, adim am tuye v'asuye tarte, man. How do you define three? When you rub backwards and forwards, is that one? Or is backwards one, forward another two? Right? When you rub back and forth. So is it each back and forth only counts as one? Or a back is one and a forth is two? So my, what's the din? Teku. So the Rambam on this, paskens l'chumra, that you need to be molech umevi shalosh pamim b'kol kiskus. You need to be molech umevi 3 times. The Rambam paskens l'chumra. And that's how the Miri paskens as well. The Achronim are a little bothered that, wait a second, b'ksamim holchem l'hakel, k'samim r'drabanan, shouldn't we always be mekel on k'samim? So the Achronim answered, no, but over here it's so easy to just be mechmir. Meaning we try to be mekel, we say something to Rabbanan l'kul also. But when things are very easy to be mechmir on, so then you be mechmir. What's so difficult to just rub a little bit more, and then you'll be able to be mevarer better, whether it's dam or whether it's seva. So you try to be a little more machmir when it's very easy to be machmir. Havir and shalokas, it's a questionable answer, but we don't have time for it now. Havir and shalokas sidron. If you put the zayin sabmanim in out of order, so it doesn't work. Tan rabban hiktim shniim li rishonim. Let's say we had, even though there were zayin sabmanim, there were clearly two distinct groups. There were three things that we're sort of familiar with what they are. We had Rog Tafel, Mei Gris, and Mei Raglayim. And then we had Neser, Boris, Kumanya, Va'ashleg. So what if you put the last four in and then the first three in? So Tani Chadashniyim Alulam, Rishonim Lo Alulam. So one Brisa taught that the second ones count, the first ones don't count. The other one says the first ones count and the second ones don't count. Meaning, what do you now need to put in to fix it? It obviously didn't work. What do you need to put in to fix it? Do you need to start all over again? Do you need to only put in the last four or only put in the first three? So Amar Abaye, Idi V'Idi, Shniyim Alulo V'lo Rishonim. Abaye says both prices really agree that the last three things that you put in, which were what was supposed to be the first three, that counts, and now you need to again put in what's supposed to be the last four, which for you were the first four. So my Rishonim l'Kesidron, Shniyim l'Havarasan. It's just what we're defining as Shniyim, what we're defining as Rishonim is different than the two Brises. Is Rishonim what you're supposed to put in first, or is Rishonim what you did put in first? But everyone agrees that if you put in numbers 4, 5, 6, 7, 1, then 1, 2, 3, everyone would agree you would now need to put in 4, 4, 5, 6, 7, so that you will have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, kiseder. New Mishnah. Anytime a woman has a veses, so it's dayashaita, she does not, she's not metame in the mafreya, only from the time of the veses she is metame. Veluena vessels. Now these are types of vessels. Now these are not the typical vessels. What we mentioned in our Mishnah right now are not the normal vessels. The normal vessels, what we would refer to as vessels, are vessels to the yamim. A woman sees every X amount of days, a vessel to chodesh, a woman sees on the same day of the month, every month, something like that. But these vessels are vessels that are that relate to some physical manifestation, something that happens unusual physically in her body that is a sign of the of bleeding that's coming on. Ve'eluena vessels. These are examples of vessels. Number one, mifahekes. If a woman is mifahekes, what does that mean? Rashi says poshets ros of machmas kovet. Person who stretches because they're tired. So if she's constantly finding herself stretching her limbs, that's mifahekes. Masechta Shabbos, Rashi says, it's an ka'adam aposeach piv machmas kovet. In Masechta Shabbos, Rashi says, it's yawning. Shabbos daf kuf lamed vav amud aleph, that's what Rashi writes, and that's what Tosa says over here, that a person who yawns. The Aruch says, k'derech sha'adam motzi kol derech hagaron, that it's a noise that comes out from the throat. And the Rosh says, Kulam Devreel Kim Chaim, they're all true Ladina. All these are three different types of Pihuk, but they all count as Pihuk. And the Mechaber mentions all of them in Shulchan Aruch, in Simchuf Peites, which is one of the two Simonim that we have about Vestos. The Mechaber mentions all the three different types of Pihuk. Good. The Mishnah goes on. So that's one type of vessels. Uma ateshes, or a woman who sneezes and then sees dam. V'choshesh b'fi kreisa b'shifuli me'eha, she feels pain in her stomach, in her abdomen somewhere. V'shofas, or if she's flowing blood. U'kamins marmoros ochzinosa, or if she's seized by a fever. V'chein kayotze behen, those types of things. V'kol shekavala shalosh apam hareza vessels. If she's kaveya three times, so it's considered to be a vessus. Now, the Gemara previously on Daf Yud Aleph had said that a woman is not koveya vessus machmas ones, that if a woman, let's say, jumps three times and sees dam, she's not koveya vessus l'kvitzos, because the re'iyah doesn't come machmas the ones ha'kvitza. We don't consider it that the dam came about because of the kvitza. So the Rashba asked, wait a second, what's the difference between jumping and yawning? It's some physical activity that a person does that is associated with the dam. So by jumping, we say it's not a kvias vessus. And by yawning, all of a sudden, it's a kvias vessus. Why is piuk v'itosh any more of a vessus that's ba machmas ones than kvitzos? So, I mean, why isn't it like a vessus ba machmas ones? So the Rash was mitarit that a vessus ba machmas ones, that she brings about that activity on her own free will, where it's not that the dam is there and the maisa just causes the dam to come out, as opposed to on these cases where it's not b'machmas avessa adrabah, the vessus is goreim that these things happen, meaning when she's about to bleed, it causes her to go into a yawning fit, it causes her to feel pain in her abdomen. It's the fact that the vessus is coming, that the dam is coming, but the dam is coming on time. It's just that these are physical symptoms that happen to her when the dam comes. That's very different than a woman who decides, who chooses one way or the other, should I jump, should I not jump? And she chooses to jump, and that may or may not be associated with the dam. That's how the Rashba understands it. So Bepashtus, what the Rashba means to say, is that a vessus haguf is not a siba l'ri'iyasa, it's a simin l'ri'iyasa. Meaning, it's not what causes the dam. The jumping may be what causes the dam, and that doesn't count as a vessus. But what we're talking about in our Mishnah is not what causes the dam, it's a simin that the dam is coming. Because whenever she bleeds, these simanim happen, these physical symptoms occur. So the Prideya asks, in the Psicha Sharches, he asks that the Rosh and the Tor Paskin and the Mechaber as well, that a vessus haguf that's murkav with a vessus hayom is not ne'akar. If let's say you have vesaguf combined with coming on a certain day, you're only okerit if she's tefahik shloshu pa'amim ba'usul yom v'lotira. If she has that same vesaguf three times on that day and she doesn't see dam. But if the day passes and she doesn't see dam without any piyuk, then it's not oker the vesas. So that's difficult. The vesaguf is not the siba for her ri'iyah, it's only the simin. And what's the real gorim? The real gorim is the yom. So why isn't the day passing without seeing dam enough to be oker the vesas? Meaning, yeah, she didn't see dam. And why didn't she yawn? Because she didn't see dam. When she sees dam, that's what causes the yawning. So that's what the Prideya asks on the Shittas HaRashba. Strong kasha on the Rashba. Says the Gemara, Tanina Chadazimna, we already know this. We already learned this once. Kalish Yesh LaVesas Dayashaita. That a woman who has a Vesas doesn't have Tumul Mafreya that she's Dayashaita. So Hasam Vesas Diyome Yechab Vesas Degufa. Now the difference is, over there it's Vesas Diyome, over here we're dealing with Vesas Degufa. Kedektani Yelu in Vesas Aysim Fekas Matashas V'chashash P'kresu B'shfilu Me'a V'shofa'as. So says the Gemara, just as an aside, Shofa'as HaShofa V'yazla. Wait a second, Shofa'as, what do you mean a Vesas? Shofa'as means she's already bleeding. So what kind of Vesas? Yeah, she's bleeding. She's tame, of course. So Amarula Bered Rav Aloi Bishofa'as Dam Tame Mitoch Dam Tahar. No, we're talking about where she was seeing Dam, but it was Dam Tahar. It was Dam that was not a color that's a problematic color. And then it flows out from that. It always leads into a problematic color. Just like a lot of women stain before they get the Ri'iyah. So maybe she'll stain a color that's not really, she'll start seeing a color that's not really Tame, but it always leads right into a tame color. I saw in Rav Zilberstein, Chashuk Echemer, he tells a story that there was parents that went to a parent-teacher, meet your teacher's night, and the teacher said, oh, I'm sorry, who's your child? And they said, Ilai. And the father said, you should know, we named him after Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Ilai, the great Tana, the father of Rabbi Yehuda. That's Ilai. And the mother looks at the father and says, no, we didn't. We named Ilai as Ila'a, as being Maila, Ola, going up. And it's not Aleph, Yud, Lamed, Ayin, Yud. It's Ayin, Yud, Lamed, it's Ola. So they had a machlokas, how to spell the kid's name, with an Aleph or with an Ayin. And the Rebbe said, well, this could be a problem when you got to write a ksuba. You got to figure out what the kid's real name is. So he says, Rav Zilberstein points out, both are really names in Shas. Rabbi Yud, Rabbi Ilai is the more famous one, with the Aleph, Lamed. But over here you see that there was an Amora. Ula Bered Rav Aloi, Ula's father, was also Aloi, which is interesting how similar the names were. Ula, the son of Aloi, which is okay, but anyway, so they're both wonderful names. That doesn't answer what they should put on the ksuba. To answer what you put on the ksuba, you have to figure out who has the rights to the actual name. That's a major discussion. Who has the rights to give the names of the child, the father or the mother? But anyway, nowadays the father is the one at the bris who says the name. So whatever he had kavana to say, mistama is the real name anyway. So anyway, so vaiter commits marmoris if she sees by a fever. And we said similar things. So what is does that mean? What similar things? Amar Barul Lasi Yisha Shrosha Kavirala Vevarak Vedamala. She has a headache. She feels her limbs are heavy. Virotetas. She's shaking. Vigosa. She yawns. Amar Avuna Barchi Amar Shmuel. Harayom Liyamim Shnayim. If a woman is seeing making a vesas liyamim of seeing X amount of days twice that it occurs, that already sets a vesas. Levestos Echad. If it's one of the vestos that we mentioned in our Mishnah, even if it happens just once, that's Koveya. Lamash Lomanu Chacham Shlosha. But that which the Chacham don't mention in the Mishnah is it takes three times. So Lamash Lomanu Chacham Lasuyimai. What does that come to include? Amar Rav Yosef Lasuyimai. All of these examples that we just gave, that we said Kayotzi Behen comes to include. So Amalei Abai, Michael Mashman, Masnisni, Dapir Shirab Barula. Wait a second. We just said V'chein Kol Kayotzi Behen. Our Mishnah comes to include that. So then, what do you mean? Mashalom Manu Chacham. The Chacham do count it. So what? They can't be including the same list of symptoms. Ella Amalei Abai Lasuye Achlashum V'rasa Achlabetzelim V'rasa Kisa Pilpulim V'rasa. No, it comes to include a case where a woman eats spicy foods and then sees dam. That's the Ramah writes in the name of the Rosh and the Mordechai. Let's say she's achla shum v'rasa, achla betzel v'rasa, achla pilpul v'rasa. Not that she eats garlic three times. One time garlic, one time an onion, one time peppers. So the Ramah quotes a yesh omrim that she's kovea vesas with that, al yidei achilas dvarim charifim. It doesn't have to be the same davar charif, which the achronim have a kasha with, have a problem with, because the Shulchan Aruch paskins that we discussed before. There are three different definitions of pihuk. It could be stretching, could be yawning, could be motzi kol derech garon. Let's say she one time it was she saw dam from stretching, one time she saw dam from yawning, one time. So that's not a kvias vesa. So why should eating spicy foods, three different types of spicy foods, yes count and that not count? That's a kash in the Rambam. Amar Rav Yosef lo shmi li yashmeitz. Rav Yosef said, I never heard of this idea. So amar le'abayi at amrit ne'elon v'ahon amrit se'ne'elon. So Abayi, he always reminds Rav Yosef of the things that he taught and he had forgotten. Yes, you did hear of it. You taught it to us. And you taught it to us in the following context. So he figured to contextualize it for him, maybe he'll remind him of when he said it. If a woman had a veskavot, see on the 15th day, and 1 month she sees on the 20th day, so the following month, both day 15 and day 20 are aser. Shalosh pam liyom esrim, hutu yom chamisha aser v'kavah liyom esrim. If she sees 3 times on day 20, so now day 15 is no longer a veses for her, day 20 is a ves. Sheini shekavas a veses, shetikvana shalosh pamim. You can only be kaveh a veses if you're kaveh at 3 times. And you told us in that context, that that's the sheet of Rabbi Gamliel bar Rabbi in the name of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. But the Chum say that if you have this Riyah, you don't have to have it 2 or 3 times. And we said to you, what are you talking about? Once you tell us that you don't have to have it 2 times, obviously you don't have to have it 3 times. And you said no. 2 times is for when you have the vestals that we mentioned in our Mishnah where there's a physical symptom. 3 times if it's just a certain amount of days. So parenthetically, Gemara asks, instead of saying Zu Divrei Rav Gamliel Bar Rebbe Sha'amar Mishum Rav Shum Gamliel, we know Rav Shum Gamliel's Shita and Gans Shas that 3 times is a chazaka. So why don't you just say if the name is Zu Divrei Rav Shum Gamliel? Why do you have to quote Rav Gamliel Bar Rebbe in the name of Rav Shum Gamliel? So Hakamash Mal Shmuel Rav Gamliel Bar Rebbe. No, he's coming to teach us the chiddush. Rav Gamliel bar Rebbe holds like Rav Shimon Gamliel, so to teach us that din agavurcha. Next mishnah is l'mudu lios rov b'tchilas vestals. Let's say a woman always sees dam at the beginning of the vestals. So kol taros shasa b'tocha vestals tameos. All the taros that she deals with during the vestals is going to be tamei. B'sofa vestals, if she always sees dam at the end of the vestals, kol taros shasa b'tocha vestals taros. All the taros that she deals with during the vestals are going to be assumed to be tar because she always sees dam at the end. We could assume prior to that it was all tar. Rabbi Yossi Yomer af yom v'shalos vestos. Rabbi Yosef says even yomim and shalos are vestos. We'll see what that means in the Gemara. If she always sees dam right around netzachama, she's only aser right around netzachama time. But the entire night she does not assume she's tamei, and the entire day following she does not assume she's tamei. Only ima netzachama. Rabbi Yosef kol yom shalos. Rabbi Yosef says no. She's mutter to once netzachama passes and she didn't see dam, so she's good. She doesn't have to worry about anything, but the previous night she does have to worry that maybe it's going to come any moment, and therefore she does have to be machmir. Tana Ketzer, Am Rav Yossi Yom Vesholz Vessels. What did Rav Yossi mean when he said Yomim Vesholz Vessels? Let's say she sees exactly 6 hours into the day every time, every 20 days. So Rabbi Yehuda says the first 6 hours of that day she has to be careful. Rabbi Yossi Matir Ad Sheshaos. Rabbi Yossi says, up until Sheshaos, she's good. During the 6 hours, she has to be choshesh. Avru sheshos v'lo rasa. 6 hours pass and she hasn't seen dam. Asur l'shamish kol yom kulo div Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda would say she's asur for the rest of the day. Rabbi Yossi matir min amincha l'mayla. Rabbi Yossi would say min amincha l'mayla, she's good to go. Machlokas achron rishonim, really what the svara in this machlokas is. Either Rabbi Yehuda holds that only the yom is guarding the vesas and not the shos, and we don't take shos into account at all. And Rabbi Yossi holds the shos are also guarding the vesas. Or maybe no, maybe even Rabbi Yehuda's moda that shows can be garim vesas, but since she has a vesas liyamim also, so who's to say that it's the shows that are being garim the vesas, she has to worry about the yamim. Whereas Rabbi Yossi says if it happens to be that it's on the shows also, so then it's a vesas, we could specify more, then it's a vesas shows as well. Okay, we'll pick up from the two datsim Yirtzeh Hashem tomorrow. Tomorrow we'll discuss the Arzaruah.